Hi, welcome to the Nonprofit Mastermind Podcast, where every week I do a deep dive into the strategies and mindset behind launching, scaling, and leading a high-impact nonprofit. I'm your host, Rick Ritchie Babbage. Working to make the world a more just and beautiful place is messy, complex, heart-wrenching, and ultimately deeply joyful and fulfilling work. And none of us can do it alone. That's why I started this podcast, this mastermind community, to hold space for and share the learnings and the questions and the grapplings and the actual concrete strategies that allow us to move our social impact work forward together. So welcome to the mastermind. I'm so glad you're here. Hello. So I am starting a new series about nonprofit life cycles, stages of development today in this episode. And specifically, I'm going to look at how to know where your organization is and what it will take to move on to the next stage of development in your organization's growth and sort of forward movement. I decided to focus on this because we talk a lot about growth in our sector. I've just been part of lots of conversations recently about growth, what it means to grow, what to focus on when you grow, growing your budget, growing your team, getting bigger. And it dawned on me that it's really important to include in our conversations about growth the fact that a bigger budget or a bigger staff or a bigger board isn't actually always the next best goal for a nonprofit. It's not what you should necessarily be focused on. It may be, but it definitely isn't always the next best thing to focus on, the next budget milestone, the next hire. Focusing on growth in those ways doesn't always tell the right story of where your organization is. And focusing on it doesn't mean that you'll be able to stay where you're trying to get to, right? If you are focusing on a certain budget size, hitting that growth milestone doesn't necessarily speak to the impact you're having, the sustainability of that budget size, the stability of your organization when you get there. You know, what if your next best milestone is making sure that you have the right people in the right roles in your organization? So your staff actually stays the same size, but it looks totally different than it did 6 months ago. Similarly, what if the best thing for your organization is to shift the structure and nature of the way that your board works together? Again, not necessarily grow to a bigger size, add more people to your board, but instead focus on having a more committed and engaged board of the same size. 7 deeply active board members is way better and will have way more influence on your impact than 12 people who you have to prod to show up at meetings, and getting them to help bring people and resources into the organization is like pulling teeth. So rather than budget size or size of your staff or size of your board as indicators of impact or success, and rather than focusing on those things as the next best goal in all instances, I actually recommend thinking about your stage of development and asking yourself, where is this organization in its growth and maturity? That is what will tell you what to focus on next. So why am I focused on this? Why is this so important? I work with organizations generally at 2 stages. One of the groups of organizations that I work with is when they're in the launch phase, right? They're just getting off the ground. They're in the idea formation startup phase. And the second group is when they're established and ready to grow without overwhelm in a way that ensures stability. So they've made it through the stage of development that is characterized by sort of early stability, right? They have really strong anchors in the ground around mission and their work. They've got a team, they've got a board, and they want to figure out how to expand their impact. And so they do want to think about how to grow, but how to do it in a way that ensure stability and sustainability. So those are really the two groups that I work with. And both of those are inflection points, right? There's a launch inflection point where you either go out of business or don't take off, or you launch, you form, you become stable, an institution is born and grows. And the second inflection point is this sort of early growth stage where you've gotten six figures, and what got you there, what got you to six figures, really isn't going to get you to the next stage of growth. And so I get a lot of questions about growth tactics. And what I actually want to do in this series is zoom out a little bit and give you a framework for growth that is rooted in intentionality and a strategic approach to growth that actually emphasizes stability and sustainability over purely tactical growth metrics. So the framework of the nonprofit life cycle just really makes sense to me. If you want to grow your organization and stay stable, then you have to do the right thing at the right time. That's really important. First, knowing your stage of development really gives you insight into the milestones and challenges that are inherent to that stage. You want to make sure that you recognize the stage you're in so that you can set the right goals and address the right challenges. If you are a toddler organization just making the transition from a startup board of friends and family to an early stage governance board, where some of the people aren't there because of the founder, and some of the people are expecting a higher level of structure and accountability, that's a wonderful transition to make, but it might not work to set goals for that board that is in transition that are around raising X number of dollars as a group. They just haven't learned yet how to function as a group. They haven't really learned how to be a governance board. Setting the wrong goal or addressing the wrong challenges can be very frustrating. And honestly, that's a main reason why I am doing this series, that I talk to so many executive directors who spend just way too much time beating themselves up about things they're not doing, milestones they're not hitting. And when we dig a little bit deeper inside of my programs, we realize that they're not setting the right goals. They're thinking about things multiple stages before they should. Right? There is an order of operations. There's an order in which things are supposed to happen as you grow and build the institution that is your nonprofit to set you up for success at the next stage. So if your goals and your plans and your actions aren't actually aligned with where you currently are, they're going to be less effective and they're going to be more frustrating. And you're going to be overwhelmed and demoralized. And I see that all the time. So the second reason that it's really important to focus on this framework, or why I recommend focusing on this framework, is that you want to know the next stage, right? The next place you should be aiming for, so that you can prepare to grow in a strategic way. So that as you are growing, your impact, your budget, your staff, whatever the case may be, you are doing it in a way that is intentional and therefore much more likely to be stable. You can waste a lot of time and resources aiming at the wrong goal or trying to institute practices and systems that your organization is simply not yet set up to support. And that makes running the organization feel hard and feel heavy. And so here we are again, back at this sort of central idea of how it feels to lead. If it feels overwhelming and frustrating and hard and heavy all the time, then a framework like the nonprofit growth stages might be helpful in zooming out and really asking, wait a minute, are my goals, are the things I'm trying to do right now with this organization aligned with where we are institutionally in terms of our infrastructure and our development? So there are 9 stages in this framework of nonprofit life cycles. I am only going to focus on the first 6 because those are about growth and development. And the last 3 are really about consolidation and decline, which are important stages to understand and know about, but not necessarily relevant to everyone listening to this podcast. And over the course of the next few weeks, I'm going to walk through each of these. Now, I talked about this whole framework more broadly in an episode in October of 2021 called How to Use Nonprofit Life Cycles to Reflect on the State of Your Organization. It's a great episode. I will include the link in the show notes. Again, that's from October of 2021. So in this series, I'm actually focused specifically on how to use this framework to shape your strategic decision-making, to prepare yourself to move from one stage to another. I'm going to look at the characteristic goals of each phase, and then the next best milestones to strive for in order to move to the next phase, or the strategic areas of growth that you want to focus on. In this episode, in this first episode, I'll be focused on the infancy phase, the early stages of idea and launch and startup. Next, I will look at childhood, where you're not in the startup phase, but you're not in an intentional growth phase. Third, I will look at the two growth stages together, early growth and late growth, which are actually distinct stages of development, but I'm going to talk about them together. And then finally, I'll look at what a mature organization looks like. So that's how the series will go. But I have two resources that I want to share for those of you who are listening and are founders, or you're in that infancy idea launch startup phase. The first is a launch plan template. It's a roadmap that walks through each of the key decisions that you need to make in that startup phase. It's going to guide you through the whole phase all on one page, quick and easy, really, really useful. You can sign up for that at richiebabbage.com/nonprofit launch plan. The second is a private podcast that I'm launching specifically for nonprofit founders and startups. It's called Your Nonprofit Launch Roadmap. And I'm going to walk through the 6 steps that you should take to bring your idea from vision, idea phase, into launch, including a deep dive into the most common myths and mistakes that can really undermine your success if you're not careful. You can sign up for that at richiebabbage.com/nonprofit launch podcast. That goes live in about 2 weeks. So if you sign up now, I can add you to the wait list and you will get the episodes privately delivered right to you as they are released. So let's dive in. As a brief overview of where we're going, your goals during the idea to launch phase, the idea phase and the infancy phase. First, to launch. Second, proof of concept. And third, formalization. I'm going to talk about each of these. Now, to get to the point where you're ready to move to the childhood phase or the post-startup pre-growth phase, you need to get clear about the substantive foundations of your organization. You may need to make decisions about your structure, and you need to craft and formalize key decisions about your initial plans, program plans, strategic direction, your team, including your staff and your board, and fundraising. So let's take a closer look at this first stage, the idea or birth phase. This is where you have identified a problem, or you should have identified a problem. That is usually what launches people into the idea of starting a nonprofit. And you are developing your idea of a solution. So think of your organization as launching as soon as you begin to run programming. A lot of people think it's when you become a 501c3 or whatever your corporate structure is going to be. I think that you launch as soon as you start doing the work, testing your idea, testing your solutions to the problem you've identified. And I name that because even if you aren't incorporated, even if you haven't chosen a corporate structure, which we'll talk about in a moment, you begin to carry out a mission as soon as you begin to carry out your mission. And so I think that's really important psychologically to really recognize that the launch, the legal launch, is different than the sort of actual launch. When I started my organization, I always talked about how I ran it officially for 10 years, but I actually ran it for close to 13 because I started doing work, building partnerships, working with my board quite a while before we sort of landed on a corporate structure, got our 501c3, et cetera. So if you are in this idea birth phase, your next best goal is to launch. Simply put, you are aiming to pull the pieces together that you're going to need to move from an idea to an actual thing. Your strategic growth focus, or what you really want to aim for in order to transition out of this phase, to be ready to move into an official startup phase, really requires the initial concretization of both the substance and the structure of what you're planning. So substantively, what are you about, right? This means really understanding the problem that you're trying to solve. You also want to focus a milestone in this phase is a clear mission and a clear theory of change. The relationship between your mission and the solutions or strategies that you are testing, that's your theory of change, roughly described. So the deep understanding of the problem, a clear mission, and a clear theory of change are the sort of substantive milestones that you want to achieve as an indication that you're ready to move into an official startup phase. Structurally, this mostly means determining your structure and formalizing, becoming an entity. This is about determining the right corporate structure for your mission and target beneficiaries. Now, you don't actually have to be a nonprofit or a 501c3. You may want to be a social enterprise or a hybrid. During COVID, we saw a lot of unincorporated mutual aid groups and social impact networks forming. Those are really powerful ways to bring about mission-based change as well. The key during this phase is to choose the format and commit to it, because your format, your structure, is going to shape so much of how you move through the world, of how you actually bring about the impact that you envision. The last part of this initial stage that sort of moves you into the startup phase is about taking the steps to actually formalize, incorporating, filing your 1023 to get your tax exempt status, if that's the structure that you have chosen, finding your first board members, understanding the legal requirements of your state. So I live in New York. You need 3 board members. You need to register with the Charities Bureau. There's some actual steps you have to take in order to formalize, and you want to make sure you know what those are in your state. And then finally, it's important during this stage to make some personal decisions. Do you actually want to start a thing? Starting a nonprofit, starting a social enterprise, creating an entity that is separate from you as the founder is different than doing mission-based work. They are related. Mission-based work is part of this entity or institution that you're creating. But over time, your relationship to the work and your relationship to the institution are going to become more and more separate. And that was something that people warned me about, and I was still surprised by as we grew. So really figuring out, at least for the first startup phase, do you want to build an entity or do you just want to do the work? And it's fine to decide you just want to do the work, because quite frankly, starting a nonprofit, a social enterprise, creating an institution is a lot of work. It's its own beast of a thing. And so just on a personal level, deciding if that's what you want to do, just formalizing your idea or your sort of approach to solving the problem that you've identified really makes sense. So a lot of people don't move beyond the idea stage into the formal startup stage, and that's fine. But if you do, then, you know, if you make the move from infancy into, or from birth into infancy, then you are in the official startup phase. You are a startup entity. At this stage, the organization is mostly still just the founder. It is a phase that I would say is marked by high energy, very limited funding, and this newly acquired sort of status as an entity, as an institution. So the goals of this phase, of the infancy phase, the startup phase, are really proof of concept and formalization. Startups need to substantiate that there is actually a problem that is real, that is urgent, and that is in need of being solved. And they need to prove the impact of their theory of change by very often experimenting with program design, or at the very least, if you're clear about what your program design is, what your sort of strategic approach to solving the problem is. And I say program, even though there are many organizations that do not run programs, sort of formal programs, whatever your strategic approach to solving the problem you've identified is, this is where you need to begin to prove that that solution can have an impact. So transitioning out of the startup phase and moving into the next phase, which is really about sort of stabilized institutional existence, requires crafting and formalizing some initial plans. What is your program plan? Do you have a strong program logic model? What exactly are you testing? How are you going to prove your concept? What data are you going to start to collect that says, yes, we can have an impact on this problem? Do you have an initial business or strategic implementation plan? So I say strategic plan and people's heads explode. Generally speaking, during the startup phase, your strategic plan, your business plan, your launch plan, people call it lots of different things, it's not going to look the same as the 3 or 5 year strategic plan that a much older organization would have. And the reason is that the confidence of your strategies is, or should be, less, right? You should not be as clear about how likely you are to be in a particular place 2 or 3 years from now, because so much is changing so quickly in the startup phase. So I really talk about sort of an initial business or strategic implementation plan as a sort of year time horizon. What do we plan to do, test, and achieve in the first year? So the free download that I mentioned, the launch plan template, is basically a reflection of that, right? What are these key decisions, key strategic decisions that you need to make in this initial startup phase to make sure that you are staying on track for growth? And then finally, in this sort of formalization of initial plans, do you have an initial fundraising plan? Again, that's focused on implementation. And I intentionally don't call it a strategic fundraising plan because, again, the strategies are going to be time limited, constrained by your ability to see into the future, right? So really, this initial business plan, this initial fundraising plan, and program plan are really about getting clear about what you want this first year or this initial phase to look like. Now, for your staff during this phase, you're going to want to focus on determining the roles that your organization will need in order to grow. That's a milestone. You're not going to have that when you first start, but by the end of your startup phase, one of the ways you'll know that you are moving out of a startup phase and into this childhood phase is that you are clearer about what constellation of people constitutes a good team for your organization. What roles are actually required in order to grow, in order to take you into your next phase? Similarly, for your board, the startup board and the sort of early stage governance board are two different beasts. And so the milestone here is to work with your startup board. And I always recommend inviting them into a time-bound journey for the startup phase, you know, a year, 18 months, the very specific commitment, the startup board, this group is going to work very differently together. So the milestone here is to shift into an early stage governance board that is structured and not made up entirely of friends and family. Now, again, these milestones are not going to exist at the beginning of the startup phase, right? As you move from launch into startup, you're not going to have things like a really clear staffing model. That's okay. It wouldn't make sense for you to have that because you're still figuring out your program. You're still working on proof of concept, right? So there's a, like I said, an order of operations. What you want is to aim for these plans to be in place, these things to be sort of formalized as an indication that you are nearing the end of the phase. So to recap, your goals from the initial idea through the end of the startup phase. First, you want to launch. Second, you want to prove your concept. And third, you want to formalize. You'll be ready when you have these three things to move into the childhood phase. Now, to get to the point where you're ready to move into this post-startup phase, you need to get clear about the substantive foundations of your organization. What is your mission? What is your theory of change? What is the work that you're going to do? You want to make some key decisions about your structure. What is your legal structure? What will your team, your staff, and your board look like? You want to craft and formalize key decisions about your initial plans, particularly your program design and how you will evaluate initial impact and your fundraising and your strategic direction. Now, in the next episode, I'm going to look at the specific goals and milestones of the childhood phase. We'll look at what characterizes that phase and what you want to be aiming for in order to graduate out of the childhood phase and into the teen years. So I will see you back here next week for more Mastermind. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of the Nonprofit Mastermind podcast. If you liked this podcast, I would also love for you to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you think that what we talk about here could benefit another leader in your life, please share with your friends. Finally, if you'd like more leadership in your life, you can sign up for my weekly 5-minute read, Leadership Forward 321 newsletter. I send articles, resources, and inspiration every week curated around a leadership theme to help you lead your nonprofit better. You can sign up at richiebabbage.com/leadershipforward321. That's it for this week. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you back here next week for more Mastermind.